just because you've got someone with that sort of pedigree or credential, you shouldn't listen to them necessarily without actually researching yourself. The steps that they go through at NASA are, I believe, from my scientific training, to be 100% efficient. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I agree. Absolutely. I did work for outside contractors, were involved with Grumman to some degree, and, you know, never worked for Grumman directly, but, you know, you can see the facilities that these people had, and that was decades ago, so, you know, I'm sure it's even more so now. And, but it's always amazing what they go through to sterilize everything, and, you know, of course, that back to going to the moon. When Apollo 12 went to the moon, you know, we had 11 and then 12 landed with Conrad and P. Conrad and Bean. They walk around on the moon, and one of the jobs was to walk over to Surveyor 3 that was sitting on the moon. You know, it was only a couple hundred yards away from where they landed. It was a pinpoint landing. They really wanted to show accurate we could be and land this thing. So when that LEM landed that close, they went over to the Surveyor, which had been there for a couple of years. You know, we sent half a dozen Surveyors to the moon, and this was one of the ones that landed and wasn't operating anymore. But it did have a camera, of course, on, you know, we had sent pictures back, you know, what the area looked like. And the camera, you know, Pete Conrad broke it off the stanchion that was on and put it back in the LEM, and they brought it back to Earth. Well, when they examined it, you know, they said, oh, there's a microbe, you know, some kind of a bacteria or something on the lens, you know. Look at this. And then when they studied it, they realized it was from Earth, and it wasn't, you know, it wasn't like, you know, put there by a moon man. Well, anyway, those stories will always keep going. You know, I mean, the goal of NASA really is to find life. Maybe they will on Mars, some kind of microbe. You know, I mean, they plan on digging into the ground. InSight did that with the InSight mission. They wanted to drill down 15 feet, but that machine didn't work, or had problems with the mole to do that. But sooner or later, they're going to do it, and they're going to get down deep enough, and maybe into some possible water that, you know, liquid water that might be, you know, still existing down at the bottom, deep enough. And who knows, you know, when they put that under a microscope, they might come up with an amoeba or something. And that would be a big thrill. And that is the goal, so everybody wants to write the headline. Let's write the headline before it happens, you know. Life found on Mars. Any questions or comments? WS2N. I know it's getting late, but I just wanted to cover the Electron rocket that went up by Rocket Lab. It's the 20th launch of that vehicle. The Electron rocket is being built by Rocket Lab. There's one guy that owns it, Pete Beck. You know, it's a American company, you know, he built these things in California, and he's been launching these rockets from New Zealand, and he's got to build his own launch pad there, and he actually built another launch pad here in Virginia. That thing should have been launched already. He wants to launch from the United States, but COVID hit, and that slowed him down, and he probably will launch by the end of this year, I'm sure. From Virginia, anyway, this rocket, you know, he thought it was just going to be another launch. He is planning on trying to recover the vehicles. When they come down on a parachute now, and then he'll bring them back and refurbish them and launch them again. You know, not the second stage, but the first stage booster. Same idea with SpaceX has been doing it, and that SpaceX now, in fact, they just did another one. They've recovered 85 boosters so far over the last years since they've been recovering them. And this guy's trying to do the same thing, but, you know, but land them in the water and then bring them back. He does have another rocket on the drawing board called the Neutron rocket that he plans on landing in on a drone ship similar to what SpaceX does in the future. With that rocket, of course, not built yet, but you know that's the much bigger rocket, much bigger payloads. But this one was unsuccessful. This 20th launch of the Electron rocket. And about a year ago, he had the same problem. Went up, second stage, something malfunctioned, and they lost the satellite. The same here, they lost the satellite as well. I think one of the satellites was a SARA, synthetic aperture radio. But anyway, they're looking into this, what the problem might be. Last time it was electrical. Big batteries, they have big lithium-ion batteries that operate the turbos inside of the rocket. You know, they have 9 engines in the first stage, 1 engine in the second stage, and I believe the first time, last time that this happened, it was something like that. I mean, as it goes up, you can actually see when they have a series of batteries. And as one battery is depleted, they'll actually push it out of the back of the spacecraft. It will eject, you know, it's got nitrogen charges, it'll push it away. And then the other battery takes over. Maybe the new battery didn't work. We'll see. It's a different way of doing things with the electricity running the turbos instead of the hot gas from these pre chambers all these other rockets are run by. This guy had a new idea to use electric motors, 50 horsepower motors to push the fuel into the chambers. And it's been working. It didn't work one time. I don't know what happened this time. We'll see if it's a similar problem. It should have been corrected, though. So maybe it's something different. We'll see. It's a pretty good company. There were 18, I guess, successful flights and 2 failures. So anyway, I'm looking at the clock and running down. I'll talk about a few of these other topics in the future. There's always something. Lately, things are coming out on Friday or Saturday where we don't have enough time to put them. Well, we have enough time, but I kind of jam it in here at the end. But before you know it, the week is over, and next thing you know, on Friday or Saturday, something lands on Mars or something happens. And get a little late to the drawing board here. I'm going to turn it back to Roy. We'll be on tomorrow night. Tomorrow night's at Club InfoNet. You can hear what Limark is doing by getting on to these repeaters at 8:30. And then they have the Flop and Shop after that and Newsline after that. So that's Monday night. Roy, AC2GS, WS2N. For the SpaceNet report for the TechNet. Back to you, Roy.
Thank you very much, Paul, for the SpaceNet report and for all that you do here. That was a rather fascinating discussion. I put up an article on my link page, roy.ac2gs.com. It's the BBC doing the story on this guy Mason. And it's actually a collection of different articles. And I found it amusing that one of the other articles cites Avi Loeb, my least favorite astronomer, who is associated with Harvard and yet keeps on going on about UFOs and aliens traveling in things that turn out to be comets and asteroids. So there's always guys like that. This guy Mason is trying to push a book that he just published with MIT Press. So that's the nature of things. There's always a couple of noisy guys trying to sell a book. Anyway, I want to thank everyone who participated tonight. As I often say, it's you guys that make or break a technical net by participating in it. And there was a lot of participation, and I'm very thankful to each and every one of you. As always, I want to remind you that if you want to get in touch with me or have me get in touch with Paul, either for questions, for the mailbag, for topics of discussion, for puzzles, and or for space-related stuff, the email address is mailbag@ac2gs.com. Again, mailbag@ac2gs.com. The link page is available. It'll be available for the rest of the year, most likely. And you can get to it by typing in roy.ac2gs.com, and that'll bring you to my link page. Also, keep in mind that if you're not near a radio and you want to listen to the InfoNet, if you have a cell phone or any browser, just type into it technet.ac2gs.com, and hopefully that'll give you the audio stream. And Mike, KC2NJI, is still maintaining his archives of the technical net that go as far back as September of 2006. That's available on his website at amateurradio.tv. Let me drop for a sec. Okay, so as I always end these technical nets, I remind you of a bit of wisdom from one of the wisest men that I've known, Dick, K2RAW. He would very often end these technical nets with some variation of be kind to each other. And as I've said before, that's good advice in any day. But in these days of the COVID-19, it's especially important that you be smart and protective of you, yourself, your family, your loved ones, your friends, and your neighbors. So please continue to follow the guidance. If you haven't taken the vaccine and you don't have any contraindications for it, please strongly consider taking it. I've taken it. Most of the people that I know now have taken it, thankfully. It's important. So please keep that in mind. So once again, I wish you all a happy and healthy week, and I hope that you'll be able to come back next Sunday when we'll try and do this all over again. And I thank the technical crew for the link so that I could talk to you, despite the Glen Oaks sensitivity problems for my end of Brooklyn. So thanks to everyone. Be well. This is AC2GS, and I'll be clear.
Brilliant, as always.
Thank you, Jeff. How are you doing these days? I haven't talked to you that much.
Outstanding here, and I hope you're well. Look forward to hearing you every Sunday.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate the people showing up, and I really appreciate when they participate, whether it's Andy's Corner or Paul's SpaceNet report or my TechNet portion. So I thank you for participating.
I just couldn't let that little blurb from Mason go unanswered, even in our own little corner here. No one's ever going to hear about what we say, but it seems everyone in the world heard what he said. So it's just a little silly. But I liked your response to it. Anyway, I'll let you go, Roy. AC2PL, I know it's late, and we have things to do tomorrow. But good to hear you, as always.
Thank you, Jeff. Yeah, you have Christopher Mason. I have Avi Loeb. Ordinarily I'm kind of an introverted guy, but I wish I could yell at the top of my lungs and people hear me more than they hear these guys who just have those wonderful credentials and very dubious intent.
That is so well said. I'm going to use that at the earliest possible convenience. Anyway, 7-3, and thank you so much for all you do for ham radio and for science and medicine in general. AC2PO.
You're welcome, Jeff. This is AC2GS, and once again, I'm clear.
AC2GS, N1YDY.
Yes, Hank, how are you doing? Do you hear me, Hank?
NYDY, NY2H. Yeah, I still have the link up, so I don't know where he went.
Well, maybe he got distracted, called away. Hopefully nothing's wrong with the radio. Same. Kay apparently was driving out of range, and then we lost her suddenly that way.
Yeah, right. We swapped out the router in plain view. Yeah, old router actually went bad. So, all righty. Take care. And, yeah, that preprint goes into how cytokine gets advanced in certain infections now and diminished in others, you know, fungal, bacterial, and all sorts of other stuff on the innate side, so. But it hasn't been peer-reviewed yet.
Yeah, I mean, it was interesting to read it. There wasn't too much detail. I'm going to take a look and see if I can find the actual full study when it's published somewhere. You know, I mean, it's always a game we play. We're changing the immunological status of people to make them more sensitive to a given protein. Can that have side effects and other things? Yeah, unfortunately. You don't know until you try. That's the problems with a lot of biology in general and science as well. We were stuck between a rock and a hard place. So, you know, if the mortality rate was such that, you know, 100 people died instead of 500,000, then it would make absolutely positively no sense to jump so quickly. But that wasn't the case. And things would have just gotten worse. Now, thankfully, that a significant portion of the population is vaccinated, we're seeing what we expected to see, which all the trend lines are dropping down. Ages are skewing younger because of it. And I hope we can convince enough younger people to take it so that we have a decent herd immunity. Problem is going to be reservoirs in third world countries that are not going to be able to vaccinate themselves for the next few years just because they're too poor.
NY2H, hold on a second. Volume control situation, okay. There were a couple tabs. When I opened it up in Windows, that page, I noticed there's another tab which had more extensive content. There were about five different tabs right on the page. On my phone, it didn't come up that way. So, but anyway, okay. That's that. Now, having a reservoir in a virus in the populations of other countries is problematic. I'm banking on the fact that they can modify this vaccine very fast, and maybe we'll have to get a couple more shots down the road until and unless we get herd immunity. I don't know if you saw Rachel one of the nights. She talked about how when we had the 9/11 attacks, let me let it drop. Hello? Still here? Hello? Yeah, okay. If you remember, there were anthrax scares. They were mailing anthrax to prominent people and what have you. And at that time, Cipro, which was the antibiotic used against the anthrax, was under patent for one of the companies, and the government, I think, had the patent nullified or something so that they could ramp up the amount of Cipro that was around. So, and I guess they're trying to do that now with this vaccine, so that maybe they, you know, if this happens, they can get it out to the poorer countries, you know, and resolve that situation, but I don't know. Back to you.
Yeah, I saw that episode. They only threatened to do that, but the threat was enough for the manufacturer to increase the output far larger than they thought they could at first and discount the price so that no one actually did that to their patents. And now they're threatening. It's not as important, the patent. It's also the know-how of the manufacturing that they have to translate, because a lot of third world countries simply don't have an infrastructure for this type of technology. So you would need people to actually go there and show them how to do it and arrange for manufacture of the production equipment. It's doable. It's still not going to happen overnight, unfortunately. Even if you dropped loads of these vaccines, the infrastructure of a lot of these countries is not great to just spread out a vaccine in a quick manner. So there's lots of problems with that. But we'll see what happens. I mean, we've been lucky so far. I hope that our luck continues.
Yeah. I mean, it's fantastic now, you know, going out again and going back to the old reality. So it's really nice. So, yeah, we were lucky and, you know, because imagine if they didn't work, yeah. The tally would still be going up rapidly, so it's good. All right, I don't know if YDY is back or not. We'll see, and if not, then I'll drop the plain view side of the link here.
Your B2BX cell here. How you doing, Roy?
Hi, Frank. How are you doing?
You drop it so I can get in some noise, apparently keys of the repeater, so Echo Link still won't let him, even when you wait 2 or 3 minutes, it sometimes doesn't work, but I got in once, and you did try to let me in a second time. I appreciate it. Anyway, one thing I noticed on CBS Sunday morning when they talked about the kind of previewed the 60-minute report on the Pentagon UFO report, they had a soundbite from Avi Loeb, and you will be glad to know he was Chiron, as they say, as former chairman of the Harvard Astronomy Department. So maybe somebody was listening to you.
Oh, that's good news. I mean, I don't want anything bad for anyone, but, I don't know. I think his hero is P.T. Barnum more than any astronomer.
Ah, that's what happened. My phone was giving me a low battery warning there. I was wondering why the mic wouldn't keep. Could be. Well, you know, P.T. Barnum mentality seems to be rampant today. You know, it's not just Loeb. And he insists people shouldn't be that upset with it. All he's saying is that Oumuamua, one of the options that it could possibly be an alien spacecraft. I think he feels he's being misquoted in saying that he's saying it is an alien spacecraft. So, I don't know. The whole discussion is interesting anyway. And, yeah, I did hear this thing about the... no matter what you do with bacteria, we'll get to Mars. I heard that earlier in the week on Pamela Gay's podcast. I didn't realize that was so hotly disputed. That seems like an interesting potential problem if it turns out to be accurate.
Well, it's probably more clickbait than anything else. I mean, in the long run, yeah. If people keep on sending things to Mars, eventually they'll send something dirty to Mars, and then there'll be something there. Whether it will survive is a big question. They're alluding to a finding on the ISS of a mutated bacteria, I think, that has become what's sort of like the term extremophile. Having to survive in the ISS, it had to mutate into something that was very durable. But ISS is not a sterile environment. It's been, you know, everything's been pushed in it and out of it for X number of years. And so they're discussing apples and oranges. It's good press. People will read it, like the stuff that Avi Loeb does. And, you know, medicine has the same type of people, Dr. Oz. Dr. Oz is a brilliant cardiothoracic surgeon. And it's sort of a shame that rather than actually practice something that he's good at and it saves lives, he pushes quack remedies to people. He makes 10 times the money doing that. So I wonder if that possibly is the reason.
You make money, you get attention, and if you do it enough, you can even become president. That's been proven. What can I tell you?
I am so glad that I don't have to touch that comment anymore. We have passed through that tunnel and gotten out the other end, I hope. So I'm not going to wake a sleeping bear.
Okay, I hear you. Just be aware that there's still a lot of these P.T. Barnum personalities out there. And I do. These P.T. Barnums out there seem almost as dangerous as the virus.
Well, you know, there are smart grifters, there are stupid grifters, there are unlucky grifters, there are very lucky grifters. So, but, you know, part of humanity are guys trying to game the system. And you see them all around in New York, and I'm sure there's more than a few in Pennsylvania. So that's just part of humanity. You got to live through it, and you do it as best you can.
Yeah, well, New York seems to be, seems to have more grifters than a lot of other places, but only because New York has more of everything than a lot of other places. Pennsylvania, well, I did get sort of a kick out of it a couple of years ago when there's the attempted coup in Turkey that was apparently being directed by some Turkish exile who actually lives here in the Poconos. You may remember that one, Gad.
Yeah, I heard of that. That was the one that Mike Flynn, when he was working as an agent for Turkey, was involved in some bizarre kidnapping. They were going to kidnap him and take him back to Turkey, where probably the president there would cut his throat.
My wife spotted a couple of flies and it's going a little nuts here. Anyway, all right, let me let you go. It's been a long night. I know we all have to get up in the morning, 7:30. WB2BX.
Okay, 73, Frank. Good to talk to you. And once again, thank you, Lou. I apologize for dragging this out. I know you have to stay tuned so that you could cut the UHF link. And once again, Lou, thanks for all that you do here. The technical crew, the participation, what have you. Be well, 73 all. This is the third time's the charm, AC2GS, and I'll be once again going clear.
Okay, 73, Roy, and Frank, we're going to, hopefully in the near future, EchoLink will be a little bit better on this system. Right now we're using a remote link, and that entails that it tells a Vox control, and the Vox control hears everything, including IDs and clanks and everything else, and it won't let you until all that clears. So once we change the system back where we directly are connected to our repeater controller, you should have an easier time getting in. So, and very good. And thank you again, Roy, for everything you do. So it's my pleasure, always. And, you know, it's not an issue. And I'll keep it up until people, because they want to talk to you sometimes, too. I remember when Dick, those sessions used to go on and on and on, right? Sometimes in the wee hours. So anyway, take care, everyone. Have a good week ahead. Stay safe, and catch you all down the road. This is NY2H. I'll be clear, and I'll be dropping the link here, Plainview, 73.